Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Coach Bento Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, the founder and chair of African Association of Vista Experiences and Attractions, Avia Sabine Liban, delves into Africa's attraction scene and how visitor attractions can respond to the needs of guests in time of COVID. Well, welcome to the Tourism Podcast. And how are things since the last Avia conference in, when was it? Was it in October? Was it in August?
Yeah, August last year, the year that kind of didn't happen in a way, really, 2020. Well, things are... What are they? They are very different to what they were a year ago. In a funny way, I think tourism and visitor attractions have become used to, you know, our borders not being, I mean, our borders in South Africa are officially open, but we don't have a lot of tourists. And it's amazing how quickly one kind of adapts. It doesn't mean you're doing well, but you're getting used to this new way of working.
Okay. But in terms of Avia, I mean, just before we get into our conversation proper, what has Avia been doing?
All right.
The conference?
Yes. Okay. So Avia, the African Association of Visitor Experiences and Attractions, has had a busy year in trying to do a number of things. First of all, we've hosted monthly live chats where visitor attractions can get together and connect with each other. Virtually, they're just 45 minutes once a month. And that's been a really useful tool for attraction managers to gauge learnings from other attractions, to kind of talk to people that are on the same boat as yourselves. We've also been working with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa to work on COVID-19 protocols specifically for visitor attractions. So prior to our association being formed, visitor attractions didn't have their own voice. And of course, the needs of attractions and COVID-19 regulations are quite different to what you might have for car hire or hotels. And we've then just also been talking to visitor attractions and supporting them with information, heads up as to changes that might be coming ahead, etc.
Okay. Now, we all thought, obviously, you know, we're about to see a restart, I think, in January 2021, after a very difficult 2020, okay, and then came the new variant across the board, and we are still here hoping to have an accelerated restart. From the attraction side of things, what is it that you believe could have been done, or even in this transition period, we can put in place to get ourselves well prepared for a better restart?
Yes, so I think visitor attractions in Africa are on a slightly different boat to attractions in other regions of the world. And I'm making a general statement here, but we're taking a helicopter view. And that is that many, many attractions, the majority of visitor attractions in Africa are highly dependent on international tourism. And very few have been built for and have the majority of visitors that are domestic tourists. And this was always kind of a glitch and a problem in the system, both because, of course, domestic visitors want to have healthy things to do on their days out and do want to enjoy leisure time. And secondly, it means that you're very reliant on a pipeline that is easily disrupted. I mean, we saw it with Ebola, we saw it with the water crisis, and now we're seeing it with COVID-19 and SARS infections 10 years ago. So the visitor attractions that have fared well are those, certainly in South Africa, who have had a predominantly domestic market. And those that are struggling are, of course, those that are reliant on international tourism. And what has been an opportunity for these attractions is to try and say, well, how can we become more desirable for our local visitors to attend and use that opportunity, A, to really increase the demand that is internal to your country, and therefore build a more robust pipeline for yourself. And secondly, to use the opportunity in opening for locals to test your systems for when international visitors will return. So to get those systems in place and very slick and very safe.
Okay. Now, even before COVID, like you said, in Africa, often than not, we've not been able to demystify attraction as something that we believe has an intrinsic value on the traveler. Okay. With Avia, what are you doing to be able to even, first of all, even to address a problem, let them understand the value of this subsector?
Yes, that's right. So in general, I find that tourism boards in African countries don't necessarily understand the value of visitor attractions. And one of the reasons is that perhaps visitor attractions themselves don't talk about the value that they bring to the industry. So they never participate in benchmark studies, whether that's through IAPA or whether that's through Avia. They themselves haven't perhaps joined Avia as an association. They're not necessarily talking to each other. And so the first step really is for visitor attractions themselves to step up and to start acknowledging that they are an important part of this tourism economy and that they need to start connecting with each other, benchmarking themselves, creating best practices for themselves, staying not only on trend but ahead of the trends. Because unless you value yourself, how is the industry going to value you?
Okay. But on that particular side, do you have other other research works and reports that some of these attractions can learn from?
So unfortunately, there are no reports available for African attractions, and that's part of the problem. But there are many reports available for other global attractions. Before Avia was formed, the only region that didn't have its own association was, in fact, Africa as a continent, let alone the sub-regions of Africa, which I believe, of course, also have their own different needs. And so part of what Avia wants to do, and we are launching our first benchmark study in the second quarter of 2021, is to actually start gathering information and data as to the role that visitor attractions play, so that attraction managers can benchmark themselves against others, and that perhaps we can start. I mean, I don't anticipate many, many attractions participating because it's a first. But I'm hoping that when they see the results of the report and the usefulness, that they will say, great, I want to participate in this next year.
But with Avia, again on Avia, how do you intend to help Africa shape its visitor experience side of the tourism ecosystem?
Yes, it's a big job and a difficult one. So we want to be a platform for attractions to be able to engage with us and understand and engage with the tools that aren't available for them to do a better job. Unfortunately, we can't reach out to the entire continent. It's attractions that need to start following Avia or become members of Avia so that you can access the information that we're able to share. I believe we need to professionalize the industry of attractions management. I believe we need to understand how the pandemic has changed how people will interact with attractions. So how it changes what consumers value, how it changes what kind of experience they want, and how it changes perhaps how they're going to spend their money and their time. And so these are all things that we can work through together and hopefully then create a report for people to use. But really it's for visitor attractions in Africa to link with Avia so that we know who you are and can connect with you. And one of the big sources or big pieces of information that we share is actually at the Avia conference, which takes place in August every year. And this year it will be virtual again because we don't anticipate borders being open.
Who is qualified to join Avia from the public, private, you know, give us a sense of that in terms of its membership?
Great. So there's really two versions of membership. One is a service provider. So that's anybody who provides a service to a visitor attraction, such as marketing or retail, or there's some IT professionals that are in there. So you will be an associate AVIA member. The membership is really based on visitor attractions, and that is really anybody that runs a site that wants visitors through its front door. That is a leisure experience. So we're not aiming at shopping centers or festivals or sporting events, but whether it's a heritage, botanical garden, safari park, museums, all of those, anybody who has a front door and wants to get people through that front door and provide a visitor experience, whether it's paid or unpaid.
Okay. But again, back to the COVID, if there's anything that we can point as silver lining for the attractions, subsector, what would that be? And how can we, piggyback on that?
So I think there's a number of changes in consumer behavior that has happened during the last year. And what's interesting, is that when we were first in lockdowns in March of last year, and there was 4 or 5 weeks of lockdowns, we were discussing how this is going to change consumer behavior. And of course, that's not necessarily long enough for a change of behavior to stick. But now that we've all been in lockdown for a year, our behaviors have actually changed. And we need to start thinking about what is the stickiness of that behavior? What are we going to resume doing that we didn't do before? And what new habits have we formed that we want to keep doing going forward? I think attractions and leisure spaces are really well placed in the post-COVID world. We've all been locked up at home, working from home, learning from home, exercising from home. And one of the things we have missed is really the human connection and obviously doing things, leisure things outside of our home. And attractions are so well placed for that. They are both provide a human connection and a space that's outside of your home, whether that's outdoors or indoors, to have a space for fun and for families to connect, for intergenerational families to connect, and for people to connect with friends. So attractions really are the future of what we call locations-based socialization. We have learned how to socialize via Zoom and via all these funny apps. We are looking forward. I think the world is looking forward. And you saw the rush to go to pubs in the UK when they opened yesterday. The world is looking forward to connecting face to face again. And so visitor attractions are well placed to use this to create a space for that. That's obviously safe.
Now, building back better as it become part of the narrative will mean that places like the attractions need some financial support. Do you think that, especially for the public office or public attractions, they can do more to uplift the kind of experience that travelers enjoy at these facilities?
Absolutely. I find that there perhaps was a degree of complacency. So either attractions were focused on the domestic market, and if there were government attractions, again, I'm totally generalizing here, but we're looking at a helicopter view, they tended to be run not in a very efficient manner, and therefore be quite costly and not invest in the experience. And if there were international-based visitor attractions, they tend to rely on international visitors and not reinvest in the experience because they were often reliant on simply the beautiful nature that Africa can provide. So I find that there are very few, and of course there are some, 10 or 20%, but there are very few attractions in Africa that really work hard at the very visitor experience. And so there's a huge gap for attractions to start doing this right. I mean, we are in the experience economy and people are valuing experiences more than things. They want to go out and share what they've done. They want to share on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the social media posts. But visitor attractions need to ensure that they are providing value for your day out. And I don't just mean value for money, but also value for time and value for choice. So I'm choosing to come and see you rather than stay at home and and watch Netflix. What are you giving me for that choice? Can you guarantee a good time? I know that at Netflix, if I want to change my movie, I simply swap over and there's no extra cost. Whereas if I've walked into a museum with my family and I decide I don't enjoy it, there's a switch out fee by walking out and going to another attraction that actually costs me money. So attractions are going to have to work harder to ensure that we provide value for experience for our visitors.
So, Bailima, thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us some of the insightful information from the attractions and visitor subsector.
Thank you very much, Kojo. It was always lovely speaking to you.